Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Fresh from an event in Milwaukee, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio came to Iowa for a couple of hours. I caught up with the mayor and asked four questions. Now, for transparency, this is the second time Mayor de Blasio has been on the Business News Hour, the first before he announced his run for president. Welcome back to the Business News Hour, Mayor.
It is great to be here. Thank you.
My first question deals with your time as mayor of New York City. Many people across the United States may not be familiar with your record as one of the more progressive mayors in all of America. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, look, I'm so proud of it because I was an underdog in the race for mayor in 2013. And when I came into office, I said we're going to do things differently. We were going to go right at the inequalities in our city, starting with income inequality. And I proceeded to do things that I think actually have reached working people, working families. You know, we gave pre-K to every child for free. It's one of my proudest achievements. We made sure that folks, regardless of income, could make have the assurance that their kids will get a high-quality early education, and it would be paid for, and then the parents could go to work and have that security in their life. We did paid sick leave for working people so folks wouldn't have to choose between a day's pay and going to the doctor, God forbid they were sick. You know, we did things, $15 minimum wage, got that done in New York. Some said it would hurt the economy, lead to job loss. It's the opposite. We have the strongest economy we've ever had, the most jobs. Look, on my watch, we've had 500,000 jobs, and I'm proud of that, all over New York City. And then on the issue of public safety, which is so important, you know, in every part of this country, I believe that we would get safer if we brought police and community together. There have been a lot of tension, a lot of division. We created something called neighborhood policing to encourage a real relationship between police and community, everyone getting to know each other, first name basis, trained our officers how to approach the community differently, de-escalate conflicts, and it worked. And now today, we are safer than we've ever been. The right now in New York, the last time we were this safe was the 1950s. I like to say when the Dodgers were playing in Brooklyn is the last time that crime was so low in our city. So I'm proud of those achievements, and I think when you put them all together, it shows that a progressive vision and a government on the side of working people can make for a society that works for everyone and where people feel invested. They actually feel the government's on their side. It's given people more hope. It's given them a sense that, you know, if they work hard, they can actually get somewhere. And we know in a lot of America, people are not feeling that. But I think I can show folks all over Iowa, all over America, that I got some evidence that there's a different way to do things. You can actually put working people first, and it can actually work.
Let's talk about your vision for not only the Democratic Party, but also for America. What might you want people to understand where the party is, how it got there, and what's important for the future?
Working people first. It's as simple as that. This is a great country that unfortunately has become a country riven with inequalities. And one of the most painful is to watch, you know, as very, very few people concentrate all the wealth and power and millions upon millions of hardworking people, middle class people, working class people feel stuck or even like they're going backwards. And they certainly don't think the next generation is going to do better. So I have a straightforward message. It's working people first. Imagine the government on the side of working people, not doing the bidding of the 1%. We should repeal that Trump tax cut for the wealthy and corporations. We should reorient the efforts of our government to get people things like universal health care, like free pre-K for kids. We should make sure that the labor movement is strengthened. There's a piece of legislation right now, it would be one of my top priorities, the PRO Act, to support labor organizing and back up working people to make sure that they get fairness in their lives. So I know a lot could change, but it starts with an understanding we as Democrats have to stand for something. We should stand for working people. We did for generations. We should again. Anyone who wonders what the Democratic Party is about, well, if I'm the nominee of this party, they're not going to have to wonder. I've shown it can happen in real life in the nation's largest city, and I'm going to say it very squarely. The Democratic Party must be the party of working people. Not only is that the right moral position, but when we are the party of working people, when everyone feels it, everyone knows it, we win.
Is that what explains the Obama-Obama-Trump vote?
It does. It does. And I know we're going to talk about NAFTA because this issue is really growing, but there's a direct correlation between NAFTA 25 years ago, the loss of a huge number of jobs, the sense of economic distress, and then look at the exact same communities where those voters went from the Democratic Party to Trump, in a lot of the places that were hit hardest by the mistakes of NAFTA. I think it is sensible that someone, a lot of people believed in the Democratic Party or were hopeful for years. Obama gave people some real sense of possibility, aspiration, but they were still hurting. At the end of the Obama years, they were still hurting. And they wanted to know if the Democrats would be there for them, and they weren't sure. They weren't sure. And along came Trump with a very clever message. He was going to disrupt and he was going to shake things up. You know, it was sad that he was so good at pulling the wool over people's eyes because it was quite clear he wanted to, you know, make a bad status quo worse. But Democrats, we have to take care of our own house. We lost as much in 2016 as he won. And it begins with being very clear we're on the side of working people. We're not going to be for something like NAFTA. And here we are. Any day now, NAFTA might be, you know, the new NAFTA, NAFTA 2.0 might be put before the Congress. And my message to Democrats is run the hell away, you know, run in the opposite direction fast.
And why is that?
Because NAFTA failed. The original NAFTA over 25 years has wreaked such damage, such havoc on working class communities all over, particularly the Midwest. And we've lost so many manufacturing jobs. Most conservative estimate says we've lost 1 million manufacturing jobs. But for a lot of communities, those communities right now have never recovered from NAFTA. The new version that Donald Trump negotiated, the 2.0, is in some ways worse. It gives even more power to the pharmaceutical companies, more power to the oil companies. And it bakes in a lot of the mistakes of the original NAFTA for a long, long time. There's no way in the world Democrats should be party to it. In fact, if we were smart as Democrats, we'd say, no way, no how, we're not even going to consider it, because we'll have a chance in just a year and a half, and I believe this in my heart, with a Democratic president, we'll have a chance to do a trade deal that's actually about working people first. Let's be honest, trade deals in the history of this country have been about corporate America first. How about one that's about working people first? How about a trade deal that really supports labor unions? How about a trade deal that allows unions across the globe to band together? If you represent auto workers in America or auto workers in Mexico or Canada or other parts of the world, how about you come together in common cause so the companies cannot pit one against the other? Multinational companies do that all the time. They cover their interests in many countries at once. How about we allow working people to do the same? We could make that part of the law through a trade treaty that's actually putting working people first.
Final question, Mr. Mayor. Let's talk a little bit about the one thing that's on the minds of a vast majority of Americans, and that's health care. Rural as well as urban Americans feel squeezed by the cost of health care, and when we listen to them, it's causing them some real pain. What does the de Blasio health care plan look like?
It's a universal health plan, and I'm basing it on the success we've had already in New York. You know, I got sick of waiting for Washington because I saw hundreds of thousands of people with no health insurance in my town and no chance that they were going to really get it, and families suffering. And then the great irony, I had my team do the math, and what we found was what happens in the end. Huge numbers of people go to the emergency room when they're already really sick. When they could have been made well much earlier, but they had no choice but to, you know, wait and eventually go to the emergency room. It costs the taxpayers a huge amount of money. It's not fair to the patient. It's the worst place. It's the last place you should want to get health care. A lot of people end up hospitalized who didn't need to. That costs, again, the taxpayers a huge amount of money. So I looked at it and said, we're going to do something different. We've created a universal health care vision in New York that we're implementing right now, and it guarantees health care for anyone who doesn't have insurance, and it's a sliding scale. You only pay what you can afford. That's a good starting point. Ultimately, I believe in a universal health care system. I believe it has to be publicly managed because, look, how many Americans don't have health care, don't have health insurance? Tens of millions. How many Americans have it, but they can't use it a lot of the time? Tens of millions. You know, they don't have easy access to mental health care. They don't have easy access to dental care. They have some physical health care, but with huge restrictions, and then are paying through the nose, deductibles, copays, out-of-pocket expenses. And here's an American reality. A really bad illness can still bankrupt a family. It happens every day in this country. how about we create a healthcare system? It'll take time. It'll come in stages, but a healthcare system that's about serving each American, addressing their needs, and making sure they never end up bankrupt simply because they got sick. That's within our power as a country. We have that ability. That's what I'm going to be fighting for.
Final question and a follow-up on that. Everybody's going to ask the question, but how do you pay for it?
And I say three things. One, repeal the Trump tax cut for the wealthy and the corporations. That's $1.5 billion that was given away that didn't need to be every year. Two, we should put the tax rate on the wealthiest Americans and the corporations back to the levels it was in the 1950s when Dwight Eisenhower was president. No radical he. But we, 60%, 70% tax rate for the wealthiest Americans, and they still did fine. But our nation was able to move forward and invest in things like our infrastructure, which is hurting so much now in Iowa and all around the country. So that's another way to address health care and a host of other issues. And finally, if you say to Americans, you're not going to pay those premiums, those deductibles, those out-of-pocket expenses, those co-pays anymore, we can come up with a fair level of taxation that says, you know what, you will pay something towards health care, but you're going to save more money not having to pay all those other things. And I think Americans are smart and they can do math and they're going to say, hey, if I can pay less but also have the assurance that I'll have more consistent health care, I think the American people will believe in that.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. What a pleasure. Thanks.
Once again, that was Mayor Bill de Blasio from New York City, a 2020 presidential candidate. We caught up with him earlier this past weekend as he was making yet another tour of the Hawkeye State. We will have links to Mayor de Blasio's website up on our radio blog. Stay with us. There's more to come on this edition of the Business News Hour.